Hey, welcome in. Latest episode of that SEC podcast. We're back with another edition of the Roush Hour. And Nick Roush, I just want to say to you, happy Kentucky Louisville Day. I saw your post earlier. You were on one this morning.
Yeah. Well, I did recycle that video, in fairness, but it is it's a bit of a national holiday up here in the Commonwealth. Unfortunately, they're playing this game on Veterans Day. So shout out, salute to all the veterans out there. Kentucky Louisville shouldn't be on your day. It should be after football season's over with, or at least we're into the postseason. So it's weird getting hyped up for a basketball game in November like this. But we're still fired up. We're ready to go. I'm a little nervous, but you know, that's just, this was the territory. I'm not used to winning so much right now, Mike. I'm a little worried. I admittedly, like, Florida fans, what's going through your minds right now? Because I don't know how to handle kicking your ass. I mean, it's I love it. Don't get me wrong. But, I mean, it has been years and 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 years of losing to that team. Now the shoe's on the other foot. That's all Florida does is lose to Kentucky. I can't get enough of it. I mean, you probably – Billy Gonzalez should have gotten fired. I mean, that's unacceptable. I mean
– What a time to be a Kentucky fan, huh?
Oh, it's great.
I mean, when was your first media days, SEC football media days? Do you recall the year?
I was in the Hoover days, probably 2016, give or take.
Okay, yeah, so that's right around. I think my first was 17, I think. And I plopped down in the small room where all the coaches come in, and I just sat there the whole time so I could, like, get all the questions that the head coaches were asked. And Mark Stoops got asked in three different ways, when are you going to beat Florida? And now he owns them. I mean, has he gone from getting his ass fired to it's hard to see him getting let go unless they collapse down the stretch here.
It really is, man. I mean, we were ready to pack him up and ship him to Timbuktu, and you win a couple games, right? Like, I know that everybody who's watching will be quick to say, like, oh, Florida sucks. They have an interim coach. Auburn sucks. They can't do anything. I'm pretty sure Auburn has not lost by 10 to anybody this year. They played everybody pretty close. They played Vandy darn close last week. Kentucky's only won at Auburn three times in school history. So you win a couple SEC games, things change. Kentucky can actually end up in a bowl game this year. Like, that is very much on the table. And hell, they might even just win out, right? They could end up being 7-5. And you know, frankly, I'm a little perturbed by your power rankings at the top of the page. Is that Kentucky behind Florida? What the hell, Mike?
Yeah, hey, it's a new day. That was all Hugh Freeze. Oh, you know, again, I've tried to sound the alarm. I hear the alarms going off at your residence. It sounds like they're still ringing the bells because Hugh Freeze finally got let go. But hey, I think this is a new Auburn. I think if they met again on a neutral field tomorrow, give me DJ Durkin, the Fighting Durkins, to beat Kentucky. I can't believe that's even a hot take.
Well, you know, the games do matter, as Kentucky fans have seen. I will say, Mike, it had been so long since Kentucky had won a home game that when we did our live videos afterwards, I forgot what it was like to see happy fans. I mean, it's so weird, but hey, you know what? I'll happily take some more of that.
Shout out Mike Andrews. He says, so this is what Roush looks like smiling. Yeah. We haven't seen it all year.
Oh, man. Here's the other thing, too. This might be crazy talk, but I know Vandy fans are they're looking at that Tennessee game at the end of the year as their ticket to the playoff. Don't overlook them Wildcats, because Kentucky is like the NCAA tournament team you don't want to play in March. It's like, oh, they're a frisky team. You don't want to see them in the postseason. The defense has not given up a touchdown drive of more than 50 yards in three of the last four games. Right. The one exception was that Tennessee loss. You know, they had a ton, but Texas, Auburn, and Florida couldn't do anything. We saw what Auburn's offense did with Ashton Daniels. Maybe it was just Hugh Freeze bogging them down. But like this defense is playing very well. And I think Kentucky will like to play in the kind of game that Vandy's in. And I know that Pavia hasn't really done it yet, But he's a confident guy. You could very well see them maybe getting a little counting their chickens before they hatch on his senior day. So I'm just saying that could be a tricky little spot. I know they're on a bye this week, and Pavia was outstanding in that win over Auburn. But that is just saying it could be a tread lightly, commies. Tread lightly.
Of course we can. And I just love the fact, Nick. I mean, it's been doom and gloom for 2 months. You get a little momentum. You win back-to-back conference games for the first time since 2023. And here we are. We're calling our shot against Vanderbilt. You better not overlook Tennessee Tech. Undefeated. They might be the best team from Tennessee.
You're right. They might be the best team from Tennessee. I know it sure as hell ain't your team, which hey, you know what, though? At least this year, there's no way your team loses at Florida, right? There's no chance.
Right? I've heard that 8 times in my life. They've got their ass whooped all 8 times. You know what?
All right. We need to have a DJ Lagway conversation, because even though I told you in July that he was going to have a sophomore slump, this is just how can you be so good and also so terrible? He leads the SEC in interceptions, and it's just it's one play. He's just bumbling, stumbling, rolling over dudes and getting first downs. The next, he's throwing arm punts to safeties who haven't had an interception their whole career, right? Like, I know that a lot of this, like, if you look at the NFL and you're trying to handicap power rank quarterbacks, you have to factor in their surroundings, right? You have to factor in the play caller. You got to factor in who's catching passes for them. You got to factor in if they're getting protection or not. That makes guys like Sam Darnold and Baker Mayfield look better in one spot versus where they were at other spots. Lagway, I know in this game, he did not have his full amount of weapons at wide receiver.
Right. A lot of injuries.
Like the Florida offensive line, that center was all SEC center going into the season. Like the Florida offensive line should be fine. Is Billy Napier really that bad to make Lagway look this terrible? That's the part where Lane Kiffin is one who is generally pretty honest. But between him and some of these other – like I would love an honest assessment from a decent quarterbacks coach on what they think about Lagway, because I kind of think he might just be a real flash in the pan, that the arm tool, like the tools are there, but just in here, he's never going to be able to put it together. Or if he actually is salvageable. That's the part that I can't figure out, because it's clear the play caller wasn't right, but he seemingly had enough other parts to make it work. So is this a salvageable project in the transfer portal if you're one of those programs looking for a big name quarterback?
Right, so I think what you're really asking, you're dancing around it, Nick, but you haven't asked it. Does Lane Kiffin want DJ Lagway to stay in Gainesville next season when he's the head coach? Is that what you're trying to ask?
Yeah, I mean, to an extent. I mean, I sure as hell would much rather have – hell, both of – I'd take Austin Simmons over him right now, and he got benched, you know? So I – You see the physical side. All right, first things first. Why is DJ Lagway weigh 250 pounds?
He's a beast.
Dude, he can lose 20 pounds easy and just be in better shape. Like that's something there.
Ben says Graham Mertz was better. It's hard to disagree.
Right. And I think that some of you can't get better without playing. And that's been that was my biggest reason why I was knocking him ahead of the season, is because he just hadn't practiced to get better, to get those live reps. He needs them. But I'm at the point now where how much can a system actually help him? I don't know the answer to this question. But I do think the funniest possible outcome would be if he went to Miami and was good for 6 weeks and people thought the U was back, and then they just pissed down their leg like they always do, and DJ Lagway looks terrible again, right? I mean, that's the most predictable outcome.
Well, hey, I asked someone this yesterday. I'm kind of curious to hear your thoughts. I'm not one of these old guys, you know, that's like, I wish they weren't paying the players. It was better.
Mm-hmm.
It may have been better. But I don't go out of here and say that, you know, but would you buy into – because it's not just DJ Lagway. I think for DJ, I think it's more about the injuries, but a lot of high-profile quarterbacks across college football, but specifically in the SEC, I'm thinking of Garrett Nussmeier.
Oh, yeah.
I'm thinking of Arch Manning to a degree, John Mateer to a degree, obviously Nico. Again, DJ, all these guys, Lenore Sellers. What do they all have in common, Nick? I don't know the figures, and we found out about your quarterback last week as well.
Oh, yeah.
But what all these guys, excuse me, what do they all have in common, Nick? They're probably all making north of $1 million. And I would say some of these guys, several million dollars.
Yeah.
Does that affect them to where Austin Simmons, another one, to my knowledge, making several million dollars. He's not even playing. Do you think, and again, I'm not saying like money's ruining all these guys or anything, but could that play a factor in a lot of disappointing seasons?
So part of it is expectation management from just fans, right? And there's a lot of people who get things wrong in August. I don't think guys are necessarily any better or worse because they're getting paid more money. It just feels significantly worse as a fan when you know that these guys are loaded now, right? If I'm an LSU fan and I think I've got a Heisman Trophy winner, Nussmeier, and to see him just missing guys and regress, the Nussmeier one's the most shocking one because there's a clear regression, right? Like if you look outside of the conference, all right, Carson Beck's kind of what he's always been, or he just – you know, you have that sort of steady, up, 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 boo, bottoms out. If you're Duke, you're getting the production you wanted out of Mensa, but you're just not getting anything else. Mensa was getting paid $3 million, or I think it was $4 million over 2 years to come from Tulane. So you're at least getting the production out of him, but you're not necessarily the rest of the team. I think the biggest it's what makes doing this job so much fun, Mike, is that I once heard somebody compare quarterback evaluating to astrology for men, right? Where it's just like everybody has an opinion on it. You hear it a ton going into the NFL draft. And a lot of times it's just a crapshoot and it's based on fit. And it's even harder at this level because of what they were, the level of football they were playing prior to getting to the SEC, right? Where you can do that much easier at the NFL level. You kind of know, but I mean, we saw the guys Arch was playing against in New Orleans in that private school league. I mean, you know, he needed to get some reps against the competition. And I think you're starting to see him like stacking stuff together. You know, is that enough this week against Georgia? I don't know. but like, Lenore Sellers is the perfect example of needing the right pieces around him to be successful. Good player, but he loses his play caller. He gets an awful one that everybody knew was going to be terrible, yet Shane Beamer still hired Mike Shula anyway. And it was a disaster. The other part, too, is they didn't get a running back in the portal, right? Like, why was Lenore Sellers so good last year? Because he could turn around and hand it off to Rocket Sanders. Like, that's the part where – I mean, even if you look at my team's late season success with Cutter Bowley, like it's happening because they also have a decent running game too, right? Like they have a supporting cast. He has time to throw it. Brock Vandegrift, he might have been a decent quarterback if he didn't get sacked 1,000 times, right? So like I think to get back to the original question is that when we started this NIL era, everybody knew that you can't do it without a quarterback. So I think what happened is I think people might have just got overly invested into the quarterback market and didn't necessarily have the pieces around them to be successful. Now, if you got an awesome play caller like Lane Kiffin, it works, right? Texas, it looked really bad for a while because they couldn't block at all. I like to poke at Sark, but he's a pretty decent play caller. They've kind of figured some things out here. The one that is you mentioned Mateer too. I think the reason why Oklahoma's offense is doing something is because that freshman running back. I mean, that is as awesome as Mateer was early in the season. He was a September Heisman winner, right? But they are a team that has a legitimate playoff hopes at this point in the season because they are more balanced on offense. And man, I cannot wait for that. That Alabama game is going to be awesome. I want that to be an awesome game, especially if Mateer's all the way back, because those guys should be spending it. They should be spending it.
Hey, shout out Steven Up. He says Shane had a man crush on Vandegrift last year. As soon as he saw the cell phone belt clip, he was all in on the guy.
He was done. I see Shane as a guy who not only has a belt clip, but also has the wallet on his chain.
He definitely rocked that back in the day. I think he's too intimidated to keep doing that.
Yeah, or afraid of getting bullied out of it.
Bully is the wrong word. It's not the word I would use, but I would assume the wife vetoed that. That's the way I'll say that.
Well, at least one person can tell him what to do.
And hey, you know who we're not vetoing, Nick? The legend, JR.
He did it.
Thank you, JR. He gifted Adrian Muller. Adrian, welcome to the family, courtesy of JR. And we also had SEC Sean gifted multiple memberships. Man, these Aggies can't hide money, Nick. Can't hide it. SEC Sean, he gifted Watchdog 93. We appreciate you, Sean. And Glock C, I hope I said that right. Welcome, courtesy of SEC Sean. And last but not least, our Alabama legend. Thank you, Stephen Up. He gifted Nicholas Howe Bukowski.
Ooh.
Nicholas, welcome to the family, courtesy of old Stephen Up. All right, so aside from Kentucky, which it is funny you say that, man. I guess we're just going to talk Kentucky for an hour. The one thing, because you said this online, and it made me think. You were like, "Wow, I never get tired of whooping Florida's ass," or whatever you said. I've never experienced it. Tennessee beating Florida by 31 points. I'm sure it's happened, but not in the last like 30, 40 years that I can recall. Right. So I just want you to soak in this moment. Because not that it's coming to an end anytime soon, but it may never happen again.
It's rarity. I could be dead and gone, and Kentucky will never beat Florida by 30 again. I realize that, that probably isn't a game that's on a lot of people's radars, but I know there's a lot of folks around the SEC who can relate, right? I mean, what Arkansas fans would do to whoop A&M's ass, you know? Right. I mean. Like Mississippi State this year, I feel for the Bulldogs. They've had one of those seasons where it's horseshoes and hand grenades, and then it feels like everything is just spiraling down the poop chute right at the end. But if they have a chance to take out a rival and eliminate them from the playoff, I mean, that is, and then, I mean, you know, like, what if Vandy beat Tennessee to go to the playoff? Like, that is the kind of – those are the Saturdays that we live for. You only get 12 of them a year, and if you can beat one of those teams, one of those guys that has just had your number time and time and time and time and time again, right? Like, this is – Kirby Smart is starting to do this. You pulled up that graphic last week of all of his record against all their rivals. Dude, if you get to force that guy to eat humble pie, that's why I still go back to the first time Kentucky beat Spurrier. I was three sheets to the wind. Probably should have been in jail. I was so far gone, and we were just dancing on Spurrier's grave. Like, that guy tormented me for years, and so to get his ass, it feels personal, even if they don't. You know, Spurrier doesn't know me from Adam, right? But it felt personal. So I hope you can get that under your belt. But you know what? I wouldn't mind it if the Fidels got to dance to Rocky Top again at the end of the year with a Vandy victory over the Vols.
Tony says, I was waiting on that Vol hate. He knew it was coming. Hey, what team we haven't talked about? We can't hate on this team.
Nope.
A&M. Kicking everybody's ass. 9-0. They're going to be at worst 3 in the playoff rankings tonight. Man, is A&M going undefeated? At least regular season?
Yes. Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, it's going to happen. I know Arch will probably try to make something of it, but yeah, they're going to, what's the point spread this weekend? Like 80, 85?
Right now,
not enough.
This has not been updated since last night, but last night, 18.5. A&M favored over Carolina.
It could be 81.5. They're going to beat the crap out of them. A&M's just really good. And I worry about Texas walking into a buzzsaw this week, because I know that as much as I want, you know, you feel for Mississippi State fans, like what Georgia did, Georgia has not had it all together. And then they put it together in Starkville. And say what you will about the Mississippi State team, you know, you hear those cowbells ringing. That's tough. I think the most impressive part about Georgia is that Kirby kind of has stuck to what – he hasn't let the haters get to him, right? Kirby Smart's going to be Kirby Smart, and Mike Bobo's going to get all the criticism in the world. They had to rely on their wide receivers early on in the year to make big plays, for Gunnar Stockton to make big plays, even though it didn't always look pretty. And they had to grind out some wins. And meanwhile, they figured out how to run the football. Because, I mean, Georgia football is not Georgia football unless there's some guy with that big old G on his helmet just running all over your ass. And they figured out how to do that. 300 yards on the ground at State. That's the part where Texas's defense is talented, but they're going to go on the road. And I find it really hard for me to, it feels like a game where Georgia has to mistake its way into a loss against Texas. That's the same thing to go back to what you said about A&M, right? Like, it feels like for Texas to win, they've got to take advantage of bad missed opportunities, right? They need a Ryan Niblett punt return, you know, like, and I don't, A&M and Georgia found ways to win despite making mistakes early on. A&M just doesn't really make them, man. I mean, they are playing sound quality football and refusing to stub their toes. They just, it's impressive, man. You know, hats off to Elko. Like, damn, they're good, man. They are a wagon right now. And I know that Missouri, like that was a spot, if they had Bo Prabula, that I would have loved to have played Mizzou. But I mean, they're lucky that Ahmad Hardy had that big rushing touchdown late, because that was a thorough ass whooping. The Tigers didn't stand a chance in that game.
So let's say A&M does go undefeated.
Yeah.
Which is not a guarantee with at Texas, but either way, let's say they make the SEC championship game. What do you think would be the team that would worry them the most in a hypothetical SEC championship? Because I would assume the contenders would be Bama, who's undefeated in conference, Georgia, Ole Miss. That's probably the list. Is there a?
Yeah, I think that's the end of the list. And it's still, that's a great question. Because stylistically, the Bama offense worries me the most. But if you want to be the man, you got to beat the man. And if Kirby Smart's playing anybody but Alabama, he's winning, right? Like that's the part that's the reason. And why I would worry about the Dogs the most is because just who they are with that guy leading the charge. I mean, aggression. I mean, the whole deal, like they are the man. It's a de facto home game too for them down there. And I know A&M fans, but they would flock in droves to go to their first SEC championship game. But Georgia's just a team you can't kill. You know, they're hard to kill, whereas, you know, I've seen Ole Miss peter out in big moments. And then there's times like we saw in that LSU game on Saturday where Bama just, you're missing short field goals. Like, you're kind of playing with your, you know, it something looks a little weird there. But Georgia, you got to go out and you got to take it from them, right? You got to go out and beat them. And that's why I think that would be the toughest matchup for them. But I do think if you're looking at all the other teams, the team nobody would want to play would be A&M, particularly because it's not just they're explosive with their wide receivers. They're running the ball well. Their quarterback has an escapability to him. And Elko's finally got his defense playing the way he wants him to play. So they are right now. I wonder if I'm talking candidly with a Texas A&M fan, what's their state of mind right now? Because this is unfamiliar territory, right? And I know college football fans, we are a paranoid bunch. They got to be just on pins and needles waiting for the next shoe to drop. Like, right? When? Who is going? How are they going to hurt me? It's going to happen at some point. And frankly, depending on how tiebreakers are, I know they hate the horns, but a loss might get them to avoid the SEC championship game. So that's one less game in theory you have to play. And then you get a home playoff game. Like, they might be playing that they might be bargaining with that in their heads right now.
Yeah. I don't know if you're a fan of SEC shorts, but you know, they always do such a great job. And most of their videos here lately, they've had a A&M fan where like they get the hope, but the Aggie syndrome is always nearby to shut that down. You know what?
Oh yeah. It's not going anywhere. You can't get rid of that with a win over Mizzou, right? You're going to need a lot more.
How about this though? I mean, we have come full circle with Mr. Arch Manning, because you didn't even reference him really in this Georgia Texas matchup. I think, you know, it's kind of always obvious that the quarterbacks are key, but you know, he is heating up right now. He's playing better. They've made some adjustments on the offensive side of the football. If Texas wins, I think it's because Arch takes over the game.
Wouldn't that be the most SEC football scenario too? We had this guy buried. He was dead and gone. I mean, in hell, we've done that multiple times this year. We tried to bury Kalen DeBoer and he just kept coming back like the Undertaker. And I kind of want it to happen just so Paul Feinbaum can say, see, I told you he's the best. You know, like, I kind of want it to happen. And I do think Arch can play. Like, he can certainly play well here. But I think in order to win, they'll have to ask him to do so much more. You know? I mean, but on the flip side, is it a race to 21 in this game? Maybe?
Yeah.
Really, I mean, you just have to do what Arch doesn't do, I think, will make as much of a difference as anything. It's, can he lead a quality drive at the end of half to, you know, get him to set up a field goal or do something to kind of take a little wind out of the sails at Sanford Stadium? And then can he take care of the football? Right? You cannot give Georgia free possessions or they'll make you pay. So if he doesn't try to be a hero until they absolutely need him to be a hero, I think he can be that guy. It's just, Sark cannot put too much on his plate too early, or else Georgia will just absolutely eat you alive inside that place. Which, you know, Georgia Sanford Stadium, Mike, reminds me a lot of Rupp Arena, where it's not like it's big and there's a lot of people there, but it's not always the like craziest, rowdiest place to be. But for big games, it is the best of the best, and I already know that them fans are fired up and they are ready to raise some hell between the hedges on Saturday night.
Yeah, but I mean, I was just looking at the schedule. I was thinking about it. I mean, Mississippi State, I'm looking at the quarterback specifically. Get out of here. We've already kind of thrown DJ to the curb.
Mm-hmm.
Jackson Arnold, he's not even playing anymore. And then Kentucky, that was the beginning of the Cutter era, and that was a shaky one. Yep. So aside from Trinidad, and Trinidad sliced and diced them,
yep,
till the final to the final quarter. I think it was like two series they shut him down. I'm just saying, Arch might be better than any of these guys they faced in the last month and a half. And outside of Ty Simpson, probably the best they faced all year. Well, maybe I throw Trinidad in there, but again, Trinidad lit them up.
Yeah. But I also just am so bullish on this Georgia team from a I don't want to say the early games don't matter, but, you know, you remember November, right, for a reason. And Kirby has got these guys locked in, and especially early on when you have to not necessarily do it differently, but, like, they had to – I mean, they were winning shootouts at Tennessee. That's not Kirby Smart football. So I think it took them a little bit longer to find their footing, and that's probably going to be case for many teams in the portal era moving forward. But now I just it feels like Georgia is in boa constrictor. Yeah,
I knew what you were going for.
Yeah, because anacondas they eat you, they poisonous, or they squeeze you too.
I think I could be mistaken. I'm not 100% on my snake facts here, but I thought, and maybe I'm just basing it purely off the Jennifer Lopez movie, but right. I thought anacondas were the ones that kind of like drug you into the water.
Yeah. Yeah. Have you seen that Jack Black is remaking it? And it's he's remaking a remake and then it goes poorly. It looks pretty funny. Like,
no. You know. That's
how they bring a fake snake into the wild and then it messes up and they found a real snake who actually starts hunting them. Like it looks goofy. It looks kind of silly. Shout out Jack Black. School of Rock. Great movie.
Well, speaking of dominating,
mm-hmm.
See what I did there? SEC Sean, he gifted 5 board memberships. Wow. Appreciate you, Sean. Braska Rascal. I'm sure I butchered that. Sorry, Braska. William, Adrian Archer, Brooklyn GQ, and Manifested Destiny. Welcome to the family, courtesy of SEC. Sean, I think his manifest destiny is winning the national championship with all these gifts he's throwing out. You know what? Hey, we got another huge game here, brother.
Yeah.
Or maybe you disagree. Oklahoma at Alabama. How big of a game? Because, again, Oklahoma's got 2 weeks to prepare.
Mm-hmm.
You said it yourself. Bama's looking a little... Again, they could win it all. I mean, I'm not like discounting them. They're on one hell of a streak, but they're looking a little less invincible here lately, while Oklahoma coming off arguably the best win they've had this year, mm-hmm. winning at Tennessee. Do you think this will be a competitive ball game, Oklahoma at Alabama?
I do. And now I know how that coach does when he plays in big games, and I'm not willing to trust Brent Venables in him, but they've been ready for all these early season matchups, man. I mean, it felt like every week it was do or die for Brent Venables, and give him credit. His team was ready to go. I know the Auburn win certainly looks a little bit different now than it did back then, but I mean, hell, even the way they fought against Ole Miss. So I'm pretty confident that we're going to see a little bit of retro John Mateer in this game, even though Alabama's front seven has elevated its play quite a bit. And you're going to need that, right? It's just how willing – for me, it's like this is – we're going to see how mature Ben Arbuckle is as a play caller in this league. Because I do think that I don't care if you've been calling plays for 15 years and other power conferences – there is an adjustment to coming to this league. And I think it took him a little bit of time to figure that out. And some of it is staying dedicated to the run, even when it's not working, right? Because it's probably not going to work right away, but they have to stay dedicated to it. And if they get away from it, A, you're completely just – you might as well just throw out the play-action portion of your playbook. But B, you have to make Alabama respect that, because if it's a close game late, that's when the big runs pop, right? That's when you can have those explosive plays that really flip the game upside down. I really think a lot of this game is going to be decided on the other end, though, is what does Oklahoma's defense do to Ty Simpson and Ryan Grubb, right? Like, this is where the real strength-on-strength matchup is, where it feels like Simpson is unfazed by pressure, Well, you know who's pretty good at putting on pressure? It's our Mason Thomas and co. Right? So, like, that's the part of this chess match that I'm fascinated behind. And what Venables does is unlike anything that Simpson has seen before. So can Oklahoma neuter that offense to a degree, or is DeBoer just going to do the big game DeBoer thing? I mean, part of me believes on paper that Oklahoma will be geared up and this is going to go down to the wire. And then the other part of me is like, yeah, well, even if it does, Bama's going to cover backdoor because that's just what they do in these games at home, right? Tennessee, LSU, like they find a way. That backdoor stays open, and bam, they just smash it open.
That's a clip. I think John Mateer, he's really got to take care of the football in this one. Because that's kind of the strength of Alabama's defense. It's not a classic Nick Saban defense, of course, but they're more of a forced turnovers. I believe they forced more turnovers than any team in the Southeastern Conference on the defensive side of the football.
That's correct. 16.
Yeah. So again, that'll be huge in this matchup. I'm a little concerned in these big time matchups that Oklahoma does not have weapons around John Mateer. I know Satania's good. The running backs, Blaylock, Robinson, they are emerging. But is that enough against an elite caliber team? I still question that. Do you think that's fair?
No, it is fair. And, you know, I like the tight end, and Deion Burke certainly has some explosiveness too. But no, it's totally fair. Because when you look around the SEC, pretty much everybody has one of those, right? Like if you're at the top of the league, you got a couple of those dudes, and you like the Oklahoma supporting cast, but you don't love it. You know, you don't really love it, but hey, you know, I remember when Drake Stoops was at Oklahoma making big catches in Red River, you know, like who's to say that this isn't the game that Koenig goes out and has a couple of touchdown passes right up the seam, right? So you aren't a superstar until you make those superstar level plays, and at least they have a quarterback who's capable of doing it. And as much as people love to do the Pavia Johnny football comps, Mateer, the color of the uniforms, I know he's not as little as Johnny football, but the way he runs around, and he can I see some of that in John Mateer too. And we all remember what happened when Johnny Football went to Bryant Denny Stadium. Just saying.
And they both like to gamble. But I'll tell you what's not a gamble, Nick.
Oh man, I forgot about that story.
Oh, we haven't. Oh, what's not a gamble is Hollow Socks. Go check them out, hollowsocks.com. Right now, Nick, for all the cousins out there, they got a 50% off deal. They also have another great deal. If you buy three, you get three of these bad boys. I can tell by your little beanie there and my hoodie here, it's getting cold out, right?
Oh, yeah.
So you're going to need some compression socks. Take care of your feet. I'm wearing them right now. I'd show you, but I'd knock over this table. But I got these ones on. I got the crew. We got the boot. We got the trim. We got them all covered over all right. at hallowsocks.com. I might have to send you some, Nick, because
compression socks freaking rock, man.
Well, and I can tell you're going to be dancing in the streets here after Kentucky wins their big basketball game tonight. So you're probably going to be worn out of your classic socks. You know what?
I will say, too, it's a real sign of maturity for me, Michael, a sign of I've reached middle age. My mid-30s, I now am throwing away socks that have holes in them. I used to just keep wearing them. We're too old for that, right? Yeah. Like, just be an adult, buy some hollow socks. the compression ones, man, they really are a game changer. Even if you sit on your ass all day like we do, like they, you know, it's bad circulation.
Exactly. Socks. Yeah, when I put these on, I was like, it's a little tight. Is it supposed to be like that? It is, and it feels great the more I wear them. I'll just tell you that.
Are compression socks supposed to be tight? I can't believe a Tennessee fan asked that question.
I may have been on some Tennessee legend while I was doing that. Any other games that really excite you this weekend, Nick, in the Southeastern Conference?
Do you know that Missouri only has two SEC wins? What? They're still in the top 25. They have as many SEC wins as Kentucky. They beat Auburn. So did Kentucky. Any good?
How about Carolina?
Yeah, Carolina stinks.
Well, I'm saying Kentucky did.
Oh, yeah, no, but they should have. I mean, I think for my money, South Carolina is the worst team in the SEC, not named Arkansas. I want they're gross. I want nothing to do with them. What do they do well? Nothing really besides
complain.
Beamer ball, you know. So I don't think South Carolina is worth a rat's ass. You got to give Missouri credit for fighting admirably once their quarterback went down. I mean, it just sucks. Like whenever your starting quarterback gets hurt, you're screwed. They at least had a legitimate quarterback competition, and it's like, all right, well, at least if Prabhupada is going to run it a lot, if he gets hurt, we got another guy. He got hurt on his first snap of the year. Like the bad quarterback luck. At least you're getting Zollers some snaps at this point in time. What I'm definitely going to do is bet Ahmad Hardy rushing props.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm definitely going to do that in this game. And I also want to see if Mississippi State, like, have they given up? Because last week was bad. But you're telling yourself this should be a game. Hey, they don't got their quarterback. If we go out and score some points, stop the run. Right, they're playing for a bowl game, and that's huge in year two of Jeff Lebby, and the weight that would be lifted off their shoulders going to that Egg Bowl, where you can just play without a damn care in the world. You just get to play spoiler. I mean, that's how you tee up an awesome year. When Mark Stoops went to his first bowl game, or it was like his first big year, 2016. They upset Mississippi State, and it got them to bowl eligibility.
So was that the field goal that did it over Dan Mullen? I'm trying to remember.
Yeah, 52-yarder, right at the horn, that won in the game. They win that one, and then they go into the Louisville game as a 27.5-point underdog. They're already bowl eligible. They're playing with house money, and they beat the crap out of Heisman Trophy winner Lamar Jackson. And it's like, okay, we were happy, and now it's like, oh my God, this is the best thing ever. Like that's the kind of scenario that's on the table for Mississippi State if they can go on the road and get it done. I do wonder how much that, like, Georgia can ruin your season, you know? Yeah. And so you just, can Lebby get them off the mat and go on the road in a night game? I'm fascinated to see how Mississippi State see their resolve tested against a Missouri football team that's down to its third quarterback this year.
What about just the level of intrigue with Florida at Ole Miss, the Lane Kiffin Bowl? Kiffin, I don't know if you caught any of it, but his press conference this week, I mean, he was just getting inundated with when do you think you'll make a decision? What do you value in a job? I mean, everybody's dancing around it here.
Yeah. It would be the funniest thing if Florida played spoiler and got to hire him sooner. You know? Because really, I mean, that is the trickiest part of the equation now for teams. I don't know how many are going to actually have the capability of hiring a coach that is in the college football playoff, because that's just not – if you're in the playoff, why would you want to leave that team, right? But the timing of it all is tough. You could get away with it if they lost an opening round game because the portal doesn't open for another 2 weeks after that. But you, come on, we're not naive. There are going to be some deals being done behind closed doors. So – that the timing part of this fascinates me, and a Florida win would certainly give themselves a better opportunity. But here's the thing, Mike. I don't know if you've watched Ole Miss play football. They score points. Florida does not score points. The only time they've scored more than two offensive touchdowns this year was in their most impressive win of the year, in fairness, in that Texas win. But I mean, Trey Wilson, he's out for the year. Dallas Wilson, out for the year. I mean, Jaden Ball, like, you can't run the football when there's no threat to pass. I mean, they gave up on that real quick against Kentucky. Ole Miss is as stout as it gets up the middle. They're not going to be able to run the ball in there. So, yeah, I could see Lane doesn't always just completely steamroll teams that you expect him to steamroll. But I kind of think he might here. Like, this might be a quit talking about me coaching the school. I want to beat their ass by 50. A lot of people think that, you know, I want to be like Spurrier. Spurrier hangs 50 on him and then says they got a good punter. You know, like, that's what Spurrier would do. Lane, go out there and make them want you even more. Beat their ass to oblivion. Make them bite the curb. No mercy.
Did you see that is what Spurrier would do. Did you see Kiffin with the engagement, getting involved in it, taking the photo at last week? That was the most exciting thing that came out of the Citadel game.
I mean, do you want to get engaged at the Citadel game? I guess on the one hand, you know it's going to be a win. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'm one of those where I like to you know, like, I don't like weddings on New Year's because it's like New Year's is already its own thing. You don't have mm-hmm. to pair them both together. Like, have a party separately, right? Same reason why I hate kids committing on 4th of July. Like, you're already having – 4th of July is already happening. Do it on – make it your own day. You don't have to double up. But you know what? The way I've talked myself back into it, Citadel, perfect time to get engaged. Low stakes. Right? You're already nervous enough. Might as well.
I sent that, you know, because that went viral. I sent it to a Ole Miss beat reporter he was there. He saw the whole thing. But I said, you know, this looks like a man that's pretty committed to Ole Miss. And he said, noted married man, Lane Kiffin, big fan of commitment.
Well known for his marriage.
Hey, any intrigue with the golden boot? We hit on a couple of the game, you know, rivals that you desperately want to win. Arkansas has not been winning the Golden Boot that often here lately, but this might be a perfect opportunity because LSU is a little bit in shambles. You know, this is a situation, Nick, where Florida, similar a little bit to how they found themselves last week, coming off a tough rivalry loss. And then Florida was favored last week over Kentucky for some damn reason. LSU's favored this week against Arkansas. If there's quit in LSU, there's a real shot, I think, that Arkansas could be getting a win here on Saturday.
Yeah, and if you're an Arkansas fan, you're telling yourself, well, if there's one team that can't score against our defense, it might be LSU. It makes me sick how terrible they are offensively. It really – because I know bad offense. They are good players on that offense. How they have just messed this up. And, oh, man, to make matters worse, too, they actually thought that Brian Kelly was going to negotiate his buyout. Did they – he is exactly who we thought he is. Is he going to say, no, don't give me all the money. I'll be a nice guy. No, they're going to have to pay his ass. I don't understand it. It doesn't make any sense. But it does make me really want to take the over. 56.5. You mean like 35-28? We get there? No, we don't quite get there with that. I'm bad at math.
Did you see the story? I wish I could give him credit because I don't recall, but it was either Ross Dellinger or it was Wilson Alexander, I think, from The Advocate, you know, this LSU people essentially. But when Brian Kelly got fired, this is from multiple sources, that he left with a smile on his face and someone asked him something and he said, deuces, and he walked out the door. You think that guy's going to negotiate his buyout down? I think he was counting the money like Zach Calzada in his mind while he was walking out that damn door.
Yeah, get your money right, Garrett. Come on. I mean, and the other part too, it's – you don't even have to be a vindictive asshole like Brian Kelly is, right? To feel disrespected to get the midseason axe and want all of your money. I mean, assuming that a coach that you signed a contract with is willing to just give up money that is guaranteed to him for no reason, that why would you make that assumption? I mean,
well, it's my understanding there was, and now this is completely rumors.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's the fact that he's unwilling to negotiate, maybe they're completely unfounded. So I don't want to throw anyone under the bus, and I won't. But the rumors is, without getting specific, that he had an affair with someone within the facility.
That's always the rumor. Right?
But again, if it's completely unfounded,
yeah.
Good luck proving that.
I think Bobby Petrino created those rumors for 30 years. just one guy did it one time, and now everyone's begging for their fired coach to have had sex with somebody in the facility so they can get out of paying him $50 million. I mean, that's happened. I'm pretty sure we saw that there were unfounded rumors with Stoops, with Kiffin. Hell, I'm sure y'all would have done it with Butch Jones, but instead you were like, actually, that idiot gave money in McDonald's bags to recruits. We don't need to make those up. We got our own evidence right here to get rid of.
No, that was Pruitt.
Oh, sorry. I got my fired coaches out of it. Well, and then Jim McElwain, he had sex with a shark. So that's why, that's how they were getting out of it. They paid that shark to be in its tank on campus at Florida, and he violated it, by God. I find it hilarious because it's just like, you can't be willing to make this big, bold move and then all of a sudden cry poor.
Right.
You knew that this was a possible outcome. Now they're going to get lawyers involved, and you know, maybe they knock a couple mil off the bottom line, but it's going to end up being around $50 million. Because you also have to pay off staffers too, right? Like I know that that assistant coach salary pool, I'm sure it's somewhere in the $5-10 million range. You're going to buy out all those people as well. So it ain't cheap firing people unless you're Sam Pittman or some of these coaches, they kind of get the do or die. We're going to renegotiate your deal before the year's up. But man, if it's guaranteed money, it's guaranteed. And until ADs get some teeth and start putting some non-guaranteed money in these deals, it's going to continue being huge, huge buyouts all around the board. The part I feel bad, I think the part that sucks most about it, it isn't for the people, the boosters who got to sign those big checks to Brian Kelly or Hugh Freeze or whoever it may be. And you know what? It's not even necessarily the players anymore, because it does suck that you only get 12 Saturdays a year and a third of them are going to be ruined. Because, they're getting paid money, right? And they're going to go somewhere else and they'll probably be fine. I feel bad for the fans because you're stuck in limbo with nothing to do but talk yourselves in circles for weeks and weeks at a time. I mean, the guys at Gators Online, how much can you talk about Lane Kiffin for a month? Or Auburn and John Summerall and John Cohen and whoever else? Like, you're kind of just stuck for a month and you don't want to talk about the games and you want to talk about the coach, and then you're going to start sounding crazy before it's all said and done. Just try not to go crazy, Listen to smart people like me and Cousin Shane. We'll help you get through.
Hey, last thing I got for you, Nick. We had our buddy Stephen Lassen. He dropped by with his updated playoff and bowl projections here. Thoughts on these playoff, any of these you disagree with? Bama,
yes.
Georgia, Ole Miss, A&M, and Texas currently projected in the playoff.
I have a hard time believing that Texas will get in and the SEC will have five teams. I think they will make an excuse to find a way to get a fourth Big Ten team in and get Notre Dame in as well. And I think that'll put the squeeze on Texas, who Texas won't have a bad loss. And I know strength of record is going to play a big role in this, but they won't really have a great win, right? Unless they beat I guess in this scenario, they have to win one of Georgia or A&M.
Right.
So then it comes down to How much do you beat them by? Is that enough, or will they find an excuse to get like a USC in or something like that?
What about this wild card, though? You already referenced it. Vanderbilt, if they go 10-2, there's been some question about their resume, but man, this is the greatest Vanderbilt team of all time. I would feel dirty if we didn't put 10-2 Vanderbilt in here.
Especially if it's 10-2 Vanderbilt versus 9-3 Texas.
Right.
We would much rather see, the college football world would much rather see little old Diego Pavia and Vandy over Texas, even though Texas did win that game head-to-head. I know that. I'm not stupid. But everybody would take the team who has 10 wins over the team who has 9. Right? Shouldn't that matter to an extent? And then the other part of this, too, that I want to look this up real quick because, okay, because Vandy is doing pretty well in the power ratings. Their S&P Plus right now, oh, man, I think this is an old one. Yeah, this is an old one. My bad. I pulled up the wrong. I pulled up the preseason ones. I'm like, why is Vandy outside of the top 25? No, Vandy is 16th in these and two spots behind Texas. So really, like, what do you value more? More wins or head-to-head?
Yeah, I mean, I think the committee values, for some reason, the better record.
I think the other thing, too, is the more recent win. So in this scenario, they might not get in if they beat Georgia, but they might if they beat an A&M. I think if you're a Texas fan and you're wanting your playoff hopes, beating an undefeated A&M does you more good, even if it's at home, than going on the road to Georgia. Because it's the last thing people have seen you do is knocking off an undefeated team. That's really, I think, what it all comes down to. You could just win out, but I don't trust Texas to do that.
Well, let me ask you this then, because this is one thing that I don't think enough people are talking about, and it's unlikely. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying either one of these is going to happen, but Alabama, again, facing Oklahoma, what if they lose to Oklahoma and they lose at Auburn? Which, again, Auburn looks like a new team without Hugh Freeze. I think Alabama would be out for sure. And the same thing with Georgia.
Yeah.
Texas, let's say you lose to Texas. And I've not watched much Georgia Tech, so I can't pretend like I know how good they are. I think from what I understand, they're kind of floundering a little bit. But it wouldn't be.
There are a lot of fun.
It wouldn't be a. I mean, help Georgia Tech. I know it was last year, but Georgia Tech probably should have beat them. That, you know, there's a world where Georgia loses to Texas and Georgia Tech, and then they're done. Again, I'm not saying these things happen,
right?
But this year, this college football season,
yeah,
I don't think we could take anything off the table.
No. And especially because right now, you know, Steve's, I think, playing the cards wisely with the hand that's dealt, but we watch college football every Saturday. This shit's going to get crazy, right? I mean, you mentioned it, the Iron Bowl. That game gets weird as hell at Jordan-Hare. It just does. You know, there's going to be something weird that happens down the stretch. You know, like I mentioned it earlier, but I kind of got a feeling that Vandy's going to play their way out of it, and it'll still be a great season. I want to say their first 9-3 years since 1917. Is what they're shooting for. They're their first season with at least 9 regular season wins since then. So, point being, it's going to get a little wild. The scenario that I want, it's not in the SEC, it's in the ACC. That league is a chaos league that is gone to hell in a handbasket. But there is a scenario where Duke can win the ACC. They only have one ACC loss, but they have 3 non-conference losses. They got blitzed by Illinois. They lost at Tulane, and then they just lost to UConn. There's a scenario where the ACC champion is not one of the 5 highest-ranked conference champions. So they could end up losing to – they could win the league, and the American champ and the James Madison Dukes get in before an ACC team does. I want that so badly. I want it so badly. It's probably not going to happen, but inject that scenario into my vein.
Hey, shout out Peyton. He just gave us $5. Last thing, Nick. A&M 11-1. Ole Miss 11-1. Bama 10-2 with an Oklahoma loss. Georgia 10-2 with a Texas loss. Texas 10-2. Vandy 10-2. Oklahoma 10-2. Who gets left out tonight? I think Vanderbilt because they lost to Texas.
And then Texas would have the Georgia win.
I might think Bama gets left out because if Oklahoma beat them. I mean, if they're both 10-2. You win at Alabama? I don't know how they could put in Alabama over Oklahoma.
This is Greg Sankey's nightmare scenario, right? Because you would have a clear top two at least where A&M and Ole Miss get in.
Mm-hmm.
And then, the good news is the at least the middle of the Big Ten, like – it's all 9-3 teams. So having a 10-2 overall record in the SEC, you would think would give you more of a leg up. But I think Vandy would definitely be out of the picture. Who is Oklahoma's – who are their losses to?
Texas and – should have been Tennessee. But Texas and Ole Miss. So I think they'd be in over Bama.
Gosh, they would be, wouldn't they? Because Bama's worst loss is Florida State.
Right.
That's a terrible loss, you know?
And they're hosting Oklahoma, so.
So if you lost to them at home, yeah, you would have to put Oklahoma in over them.
I think
the games have to matter.
I think they'd cheat and get a fifth SEC and be Bama. Final answer.
There you go. I think that's a good answer.
All right, Nick, before you go, tell the cousins where they can follow you and where they can find your work.
I'm at Roush KSR, R-O-U-S-H, Roush Racing, at Roush KSR on Twitter, KentuckySportsRadio.com. We're on the YouTubes too, so go ahead and subscribe to our channel. We got a lot of basketball stuff this time of year, but we got a lot of stuff. It's busy. It's a lot of fun. Things are happening. It'd be real nice if the Cats beat Louisville again. I'm not feeling great about it though, Mike. I'm a little nervous.
Kentucky's on a heater. We'll see if we see him tonight in the playoff rankings. Until next time, we'll catch you on...
Hey, buddy, this beer's for you, Mike, and Cousin Shane. That SEC podcast loves the pirate, and the pirate loves that SEC podcast. Hail State.